Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Your election headquarters, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, the fastest 3 hours on the internet, start now. And we are loaded with what was a very busy news weekend. A very busy news weekend indeed. And where to begin? Let's talk about the 46th president of the United States, Joe Biden, whose big campaign push now is what? Is it abortion? No, it's not. Is it I'm not Trump and Trump is Hitler? No, actually, even that's not his big campaign push. Well, what is it? What is Joe Biden's big campaign push now? It's I'm still running. I'm still running. I'm not going anywhere. Wow. Which is, of course, in response to the calls for him to drop out. So the big campaign push for the Democrats with, guys, refresh my election countdown here. I think we got like about 115 days. We'll get that accurate for you. Let's say, give or take a couple days, 115 days till the presidential election. And the Democrat candidate's big campaign push is, I'm not dropping out. And he writes big statements about it. But I did an interview earlier today. It's going to air tonight with Brianna Morello. And I was explaining, you know, we're used to seeing a unified Democrat Party. And so we kind of respond to everything with that understanding. We're used to seeing a unified deep state. They still might be more unified and have things more figured out than the Democrat Party. But no, what's going on in the Democrat Party right now is a legitimate struggle for what to do with Joe Biden. And I'll explain more about that with some of the obstacles they have in front of them. But you've got more lifelong liberal Democrats calling for Biden to drop out. And then you've got new levels of propaganda in support of Joe Biden. So this is the fracture that is the Democrat Party right now, telling you it's all about protecting democracy as they want to just completely void the vote that they just had to make Joe Biden their candidate. It's truly incredible. We also have some news out of the Trump campaign. We'll be telling you about that. Some big international geopolitical news in multiple fronts. What just happened in France? What is going on in Israel? What is going on in Ukraine? What is going on in Brazil? An update on that. But you know what? Getting back to the Democrats here, we might have an idea. I think there might be two things coming out, one from the Democrats and then one from the deep state, how they can protect Joe Biden. How can the Democrats protect Joe Biden? Well, they can try to engage in the same shenanigans they used to get him in office in the first place, mail-in, drop box ballots. And then in the latest move, refusing to support the SAVE Act, which is very simple. Non-citizens cannot vote in elections. Well, Democrats rejected this proposal. And you won't believe what their excuse was. Very ironic. Very ironic indeed. So we're going to tell you that. And then what about the deep state, though? The deep state has their own plans, maybe, to keep Joe Biden in office. So all of that and more coming up on the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Well, if your big statement, your big issue with 120 days till the election is I'm not dropping out, I'm not going anywhere because of all the requests for you to drop out, when that's your big push with so little time till the election, you know you're in big trouble. But aside from Joe Biden making these statements multiple times over the weekend and then again today, and we got all these clips we're going to play for you, there's kind of another phenomenon happening here with the media. And I have the entire George Step on All of Us interview. And I'm thinking about maybe airing the whole thing. We might do that in the second or third hour. Just air the whole thing and do a breakdown of it. And I think it might be worse, actually, than his debate performance, simply because this was supposed to be his recovery act. This was supposed to be him showing up and just, oh, the debate was a fluke. See, I'm really sharp. I'm really with it. Thanks for the interview, George. And it went the complete opposite. But this act from Stephanopoulos and the rest of the Democrat media, like, oh, well, we're reporting on Joe Biden's health issues now because we are honest and we have integrity. The same people that have been ignoring it, the same people that have been covering it up, and they want to have this act like they had no idea it was going on, even though they have top Democrat advisors and insiders coming out and saying, yeah, actually, they knew the whole time. So it's very ironic. But this morning, Joe Biden releases a 2-page statement. I mean, it's a humdinger. I wonder if his team of writers put this together for them. By the way, there's a funny video. We'll show you Joe Biden's team of writers coming up at some point in the transmission today. Very funny, Joe Biden's team of writers. So this massive 2-page statement about how Joe Biden isn't going anywhere. Now that you've returned from the July 4th recess, I want you to know. This is to the Democrats, by the way. He wrote this to the Democrats that are telling him to resign because they're afraid of their election chances if Joe Biden is at the top of the ticket. And rightfully so. And now they're saying as much. Ah. Now that you've returned from the July 4th recess, I want you to know that despite all the speculation in the press and elsewhere, it's not speculation, it's a demand, Joe. It's a demand. The speculation has been going on for years from the honest, independent media that can clearly see how unhealthy you are. I am firmly committed to staying in this race, to running this race to the end, and to beating Donald Trump. That's his new campaign issue. That's his new statement. I'm not dropping out. All right, Joe. We got 120 days. We need something. We need something fresh. We need something hot. What do you think, Joe? Maybe something on the economy? Maybe something on the border? What do you think, Joe? Oh, I know. I'm not dropping out. No, we were thinking more like maybe insulting Donald Trump, abortion, you know, a political issue. No, the statement is, I'm not going anywhere. That's their big push here. You know, it's funny because some of this might be true. I don't know. He says, or his writers state, I wouldn't be running again if I did not absolutely believe I was the best person to beat Donald Trump in 2024. At this point, he might be. At this point, he really might be. But I'm not going to sit here and go through Joe Biden arguing to the Democrats. He has to argue to his own party that he's not dropping out with 120 days left. Now, let's just briefly get into the obstacles and then show you the struggle that is Joe Biden's day-to-day. If they don't make a move fast, they're coming up on the limit to get on the ballot in Wisconsin and Nevada and Ohio. Now, those are three swing states that are potentially imperative, at least two of them, I would say, for Joe Biden or the Democrats to win. Now, the only caveat is, well, I suppose there's two. They could bank on the soft, weak-kneed Republicans saying, oh, well, let's operate in good faith, and we need to have a Democrat on the ticket. It's only fair. And then just letting them do whatever they want and putting a Democrat on the ticket. I don't think that's the case. I think the Ohio State Legislature basically said, nope, this isn't the pushover Republican Party that you've been dealing with for so long. We're actually going to stand our ground on this. You're not going to get on the ballot if you don't make the guidelines. The other caveat is if the candidate dies or has some sort of medical event that makes him incapable of running. Well, okay, that might be a solution, but then what happens in the interim? Should they go that route? President Kamala Harris? And then if that's the case, does she not become the nominee? Does she not become the candidate? Do they want Kamala Harris? So it's not exactly a smooth ride. It's not exactly an easy choice here right now for the Democrats. And I understand we're used to a unified Democrat front. We're used to a Democrat party run by really criminal political geniuses with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi to figure ways around when they have problems like this. This is a legitimate struggle. This is legitimate turmoil. The Democrat Party is totally fractured and in panic mode over this. Truly, it's real. Now, the deep state might have their own thing going on. And by that, I mean the impenetrable, permanent bureaucracies built into the D.C. establishment. They might have their own thing going on. But the Democrat Party, as it stands, is in total panic right now, and they do not know what to do. And we'll have more of that. But here's Joe Biden. In fact, look, the last 7 days, really the last, I guess, since the first presidential debate, almost 2 weeks ago now, have been a complete disaster for Joe. He really has not had a moment that hasn't been a total disaster. And so let's just start with this morning. Joe Biden calls into Morning Joe, and I guess this is because they don't want him to be seen. That it is rather early in the morning for Biden, so they don't want him to be seen. He's shuffling note cards. You can hear him shuffling note cards in some of these clips, too. So he's reading off of his note cards as he calls into the Morning Joe show. And it just is bad. He's fumbling and bumbling. He's challenging the Democrat Party at one point. And so he also responds to Mika saying he's the presumptive nominee. And this is how it begins in clip four.
We have a special guest. Tony is now the 46th president of the United States and presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden calling in to Morning Joe right now. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Mika, I'm more than presumptive. I'm going to be the Democratic nominee.
There you go. Okay, well, Mr. President, that lead.
All right, so Joe again. But how much of this is Joe Biden making the call? How much of this is Joe Biden's stubbornness? How much of this is Jill Biden just wanting to be on the cover of Vogue magazine and Jill Biden, who's really running the White House? I mean, Jill isn't really running any policy. Let's be clear. Jill Biden is not in charge of policy decisions or anything like that. Jill Biden is just running the White House. She's running the staffers. She's in charge of the catering, the dining, you know, the bed sheets, the curtains, whatever. She loves it. She loves that. She loves all the bells and whistles and everything that comes along with it. She is really enjoying being the first lady, and she doesn't want to give it up. And by the way, she's basically running for president now. Jill Biden had three rallies today. Jill Biden. Jill had three rallies today. Not Joe, Jill. I'm not sure such a thing has ever happened. I know Michelle was very involved in Barack Obama's campaign. But I don't know. Did she do three rallies ever in a day for Barack? I don't think so. She might have gone around with Barack and did opening speeches for Barack. Jill is doing her own rallies for Joe Biden. So who's really running for the White House? Remember, the Biden family had the huddle. How much of that is Jill Biden's influence? How much of that is Hunter Biden's influence? The Democrat Party doesn't want Joe. Seems like the Biden crime family is the one that doesn't want to let the White House go. Now, here's Joe taking a stand against the Democrat Party that wants him out in a very forceful way in clip five.
The American public is not going to move away from me as the average voter. And again, I'm here for two reasons, pal. One, to rebuild the economy for hardworking middle-class people, give everybody a shot. Just a straight shot. Everybody gets a fair chance, number one. Number two, remember all this talk about how I don't have the black support? Come on, give me a break. Come with me. Watch. Watch. I'm getting so frustrated by the elites. Now, I'm not talking about you guys, but about the elites in the party who they know so much more. But if any of these guys don't think I should run against me, go ahead, announce the president. Challenge me at the convention.
Challenge me at the convention. He's sick of the Democrat elites. I might know who he's talking about, by the way. And we'll play the clip of a major Democrat donor who's basically saying the same things about Joe Biden that everybody else is now noticing. But he's challenging the Democrats now. Oh, the people voted for me to be the nominee. They voted for me. I dare you to challenge me at the convention. Well, the convention might be too late. And they already know that. That's why they sped up the nomination to do it virtually. And that's why they're now calling for Joe to be virtually nominated, potentially by July 27th, which kind of puts a deadline on their own plans if they want to remove him. Now here he is again. You can hear him shuffling his note cards around on the phone. They put him on the phone. I wonder who made that decision, by the way. Who's making these decisions to put Joe Biden on the phone during a television interview? So here's Joe Biden going back on the only thing they could say after his disastrous debate, which is Trump's lying, and he's shuffling through his note cards trying to get it out in clip six.
Nobody said anything except me and the folks out there in the local race. You know, they said, I did nothing to stop Russia's invasion of Ukraine. In fact, he said, I think I encouraged Russia from going. I think he encouraged Russia going in. I mean, you know, I'm reading from a list of lies. First of all, he was made up folks, suckers and losers. I was with it. He called the Americans in the cemeteries from World War One suckers and losers. And so this guy's going to have to start to answer for what he did. I'm not letting.
So fumbling and bumbling. And by the way, they can't even get their fake news straight. The suckers and losers stories was reported in a book. Something that allegedly happened in an Oval Office meeting. Now Biden says, oh, I was at the cemetery with Trump when he said it. What the hell is he even talking about? They can't even get their fake news right anymore. As he slurs and blurs his way through it. Trying really hard, though. Maybe like five shots of espresso to the head. Trying really hard. Okay. So, but here we go. Here we go. I mean, even the New York Times is fact-checking this stuff. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. What is the New York Times going to tell us next? Oh, the vaccines, the COVID vaccines are causing a bunch of heart problems. Oh, that's right. They already are reporting that now. Always behind. All right, but here's Biden's new campaign push. I'm not going anywhere. He's saying it multiple times. While confusing what election year it is, here's a speech that he gave after the 4th of July, not knowing, he's unsure what year it is. in clip 9.
I'm staying in the race. I'll beat Donald Trump. I will beat him again in 2020.
So that's his new campaign promise, is he's staying in the race. Wow, you're going to win a lot of people with that. And then that he's going to beat Trump in 2020. All right, that's good. He's not done. Again, this is the new campaign push. He's putting out pressers. He's doing multiple interviews. His big statement is, I'm not dropping out. Here it is again, clip 10.
You got me, man. I'm not going anywhere. All right. All right, I'll come back out when they let open the gate, okay? Thank you. One last thing. You know, I used to think when I was a senator, there were always congestion on the highways. There's no congestion anymore. None. We go on the highway, there's really? No congestion. And so the way they get me to stop talking, they'll say, we just shut down all the roads, Mr. President. You're going to lose all the votes if you don't get in. But anyway, I'll be back out. And by the way, I've been all over the world with you. I've been in and out of battles anyway.
Jeez. It's bad, folks. It is bad. What is he talking about? There's no traffic anymore? By the way, keep that in mind about the no traffic thing. There's a little story later on we'll talk about with that. But what is he saying? Joe Biden is refusing to get in the motorcade. Joe Biden is refusing to leave the White House, and they have to trick him. I mean, what is he even talking about? Okay. It couldn't get any worse than that. Certainly, it couldn't get worse than that. Well, Joe Biden losing the Black American vote right now, trying to find a way to catch up. So he decides he's going to go and do another political stunt photo op at a Black church. And he's looking lively and into it here in clip 11.
How sweet the sound.
A rigid Joe Biden staring off into the distance, confused and disoriented. Looking around like somebody's trying to talk to him. Looking very uncomfortable.
Let us stand together.
He doesn't even blink. Didn't get the memo to stand. Now somebody trying to tell him to stand. He's confused. Can't figure it out. What he's supposed to do. Looking off into the distance, wondering what he's doing, where he is. Ooh. Ooh. Then, when it was time for the tithe, somebody had to walk onto the stage and give Joe Biden money so that he could put it in the basket. Because I guess that cheapskate didn't even think about bringing his wallet. But as he's being handed the money, he's somebody's trying to explain to him what he's going to do with it, and he doesn't even know what the hell's going on. This is a photo op gone bad, clip 12.
I don't feel
again, confused. Here comes a assistant pastor or associate pastor trying to give him money. He doesn't understand what's going on. He's saying, what am I doing? What do I do with this? He leans in for more instruction. I mean, folks, just look at this. Now he's just holding the money. Probably thought about just putting it in his pocket. And now just freezes with someone else's money in his hand, standing on the stage awkwardly, not knowing what to do. Fondling the money like he fondles little kids. With his daughter in the shower. Dazed and confused. Now he's just standing there. As everyone else on the stage has sat down, now he's just standing there holding the money, clueless as to what to do. And his own family is saying, you need to keep this up.
I don't believe
His own family telling him to stay in the race. Folks, he's still dazed and confused. If you're an audience, audio audience, he's finally figured it out. Somebody's finally directed him. You're supposed to go put that money in the jar. He finally has figured it out. Oh, my gosh. It looks even worse than ever. Finally figures it out. My goodness. My goodness. So, this isn't going to stop. Every time Biden has a public appearance, it's just going to continue to get worse and worse. That seems to be the story now. But who thought it would be a good idea for him to challenge Trump to a second debate as he does here in clip 13?
Do you value the norms of interest in your
I hope they'll debate me. I wouldn't be surprised.
And if he's in, will you commit to debating?
Well, I'm committing now, absolutely, whether he's in or not.
Whether he's in or not, oh, yeah. So Biden challenges Trump to a second debate and commits to it. Wow. Okay, let's see where that goes. And here Joe Biden is confusing Independence Day with Christmas in clip 15.
And we give thanks to our commander-in-chief, the President of the United States, the extraordinary President of the United States, Joe Biden!
Ho, ho, ho!
Ho, ho, ho! Ho, ho,
Happy Independence
ho,
Day!
He says. Man. This is like watching a train wreck. How bad is this deal going to get for the Democrats, for Joe Biden? How will they remove him, or how will they steal an election? Maybe the deep state has something up its sleeve. We've still got all of these things to review. But it's only getting worse as far as the narrative is concerned. This is Andrew Yang realizing what we have been reporting for weeks now, that this is the real issue now that the Democrats have with Joe Biden. It took them a long time to realize it, but this is the real issue, folks. It's not even about his mental health. They don't care about that. It's not about the potential crimes that he's involved in. Nope, it's not about that. It's not even about his disastrous debate appearance, really. Really, this is their concern. Andrew Yang says it out loud in clip 16.
What do you think will happen? And I'm not just talking about the White House. I'm talking about Congress, the Senate, the House. I'm talking about in the states. What do you think would happen if Biden does not step aside?
I think the Democrats would lose the House and the Senate as well as the White House if Joe Biden was at the top of the ticket. It's one reason why I believe the right thing for him to do is to step aside for the good of the party and the country.
So just like we've been telling you, that's the real concern here. That's why all of these Democrats are coming out against Biden now, because they're afraid of their seats. They're realizing how bad this could be down ballot. But let's just keep this in mind. Because we're going to have more evidence of this now. These are Democrats that tell you, vote Democrat to protect democracy. Trump's a threat to democracy. Republicans a threat to democracy. And they're about to completely disregard the votes for Biden. Oh, and by the way, they're about to have illegals voting too. But there's a theme emerging here. There's a theme emerging here from the Protect Democracy Party that they're going to cancel their own democracy because the things aren't going the way they like them to. Convenient. Wow. I don't know. Whoopi Goldberg. Now, look, usually it's not worth playing any clips from The View. Every once in a while, though, there's a humdinger. And I don't know. What does Whoopi Goldberg admit to here in clip 17?
I don't care if he's pooped his pants. I don't care if he can't put a sentence together. Show me he can't do the job. And then I'll say, okay, maybe it's time to go. Now, he had a bad night the first time that he went out and debated with Kamala Harris. And everybody wanted him to quit then, say, you can't talk to women like this. Or, you're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. He came back, said, you know what? I got it. And gave 4 years. So, yeah.
Of a disaster.
I have poopy days all the time.
Whoa.
I step in so much poo you can't even imagine.
Okay. I think that'll do, Whoopi. Thank you very much. I have poopy days all the time. I step in so much poo you can't even imagine. You know what? Good for her. She's being honest. I believe her. But there you go. She doesn't care if he poops his pants. So, okay. Are we admitting that Joe needs a Depends? Is that where we're going here now? Uh-huh. Okay. That's where we're going now. Or it could be worse. I guess Joe Biden could be in a coma. And here's what Joy Reid. This is inside the mind of a liberal Democrat. How can they possibly justify supporting Joe Biden? Could it be any worse? Clip 20.
Y'all just tell me who the nominee is going to be. Let me know when you guys are finished fighting amongst yourselves who I got to vote for in November to keep Hitler out the White House. That's all I want to know. Who I got to vote for to keep Hitler out the White House. Y'all do your thing. Play in traffic all you want in front of these Republicans, acting a fool in front of these people instead of privately declaring your stuff. But don't text me no more because I'm not taking no more of these texts. Just let me know when you guys are finished figuring it out, Democrats, because I know y'all the freak out people. Go ahead and freak out. Have your conversation, mm-hmm. And then let me know who I got to vote for to keep Hitler out the White House. That's it. I'm done. Oh, and by the way, Biden in a coma, I'm going to vote for Biden in a coma.
If he's in a coma.
I don't even really particularly like the guy.
Might as well be in a coma right now.
Don't like him.
She don't even
he's
like
not
the guy.
Donald Trump, right? Yeah. Hitler, White House. We keeping him out. Keeping Project 2025 out. That's all I care about. Up and down the ballot, from the rooter to the tutor. School board, all the way up to White House and everything in between.
My
governors,
goodness.
Members of Congress. I'm just going to vote all the way down to keep these people out. The Project 2025 thing is the whole Republican Party. At this point, it's not about Biden. It is not about him. It's above me now. There's a Best Western next door. It is about keeping Donald Trump and his Project 2025 friends out of power. That's it for me, y'all. Y'all let me know what you think. And another thing. I've always got another thing. You guys do know that in 2020, y'all Democrats had choices of young people. You had a young LGBTQ
you
guy.
You did in 2024, too.
You had a Latino. You had Kamala Harris. You had Liz Warren. You had all these choices that were all younger than Biden, fresher and newer than Biden. And you know who y'all picked to be the president and the nominee? Joe Biden.
Wait a second. Whoa.
He beat all the young people.
Okay, all right. So that's good. That's enough. We don't want any more consuming any more of that. You might go completely psychotic. Wow. Okay. A lot to unpack there. So a Democrat, so they'll vote for Biden even if he's in a coma. That says a lot. She basically even says that is, you know, anybody but Hitler. She means obviously Trump. So that's what they do. Just, it's crazy. And this is the anti-Israel, anti-Jew left that sends packs of leftists out into the streets to attack Jews and is anti-Israel. And then Trump's very pro-Israel. He has a big faction of the right that hates his Zionism, but she says he's Hitler. And by the way, I'm not even here to get into some history lesson, but the left is doing everything the Nazis did. That's just a fact. So it's just all about demonizing Trump. Like, he's the worst thing ever. He's just, so anybody but Trump, even if it's a candidate that's in a coma, well, then who's really running the White House? They don't know. They don't care. Because it's all about the party agenda. It's always been about the party agenda. Which, of course, is power to tell you how to live. That's the party agenda. What is the Democrat Party agenda? The power to control your life. That's it. So, yeah, president's in a coma. I don't care. As long as we have the power to control your life. And then she says, hey, we had younger candidates in 2020. And she says, y'all selected Biden. Well, wait, what? Who's y'all? Oh, you mean the Party of Democracy rigs its nomination process with superdelegates? Is that who she's talking about? Or is she talking about the voters? Who is she talking about when she says y'all? No, she's admitting that they're all aware that the Democrat nomination process is rigged. She's admitting it. But hey, protect democracy by voting for the Democrats who don't even believe in democracy when it comes to selecting their own presidential candidate, and they all know it. Joy Reid just admitted it. Protect democracy as they ignore the democratic process inside their own party. Again, this theme will be persisting, ladies and gentlemen. This theme will be persisting. But this is nice. I'm glad that this is where the left is going. Hey, I'll vote for Biden in a poopy diaper. I poop my pants. Hey, I'll vote for Biden if he's in a coma. I don't care. And by the way, you didn't just have choices in 2020. You had choices in 2024, and you went with Biden. You know, I also wonder with Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Reid, and the rest of them, how much of this is them believing their own bullcrap and now having to sit here and face it? Like, really? You thought Biden, you didn't think Biden was struggling mentally and physically? Really? You didn't know that? Did you really believe that he was the best candidate? And now that it's just total egg on your face, you're just like, oh, well, we're going to vote for him no matter what. How much of this is really just Democrats buying their own bullcrap and just refusing to admit that they were wrong, or refusing to admit that all they do is peddle lies and propaganda? How much of it is that? Now, it's so bad. It's so bad that Axios, another left-wing outlet, turning on Joe Biden. But this isn't just about Axios, because how does Axios get this information? Folks, there are insiders from the Biden administration. You know, two significant developments. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you want to know how unpopular they are? 75% of their original staff has quit. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are so insufferable to be around that 70% of their original staff has quit. Just up and quit. Said, I don't want to be around here anymore. They don't even care about the resume building. They don't even care about the experience. They don't even care about the prestige. They said, I can't stand working with these two people. I'm out. And you can only imagine what an arrogant bitch Kamala Harris is behind the scenes with all the fake parading around and her arrogance and entitlement. Then there's Joe Biden, who doesn't even know where he is half the time. You're probably fetching tapioca pudding, you know, getting his bag of Depends. They quit. And now the ones that are left are turning on him. So somebody's giving information to Axios how Biden's event staffers guide him behind the scenes. This is all from an anonymous insider in the Biden administration. And they are sharing the documents that they give to Joe to help him get through the day. They have to give him a memo that says, walk to podium. Joe Biden is so dazed and confused, he needs a memo that tells him to walk to the podium. Now, this is so absurd, you almost can't even believe it. So let's just entertain another idea. What if somebody inside the Biden administration is, let's say this is fake. I mean, folks, that's how ludicrous this is. Either Joe Biden needs directions to walk to the podium, or somebody inside the campaign, somebody inside the White House, is trying to sabotage Joe and share this. Well, that's going on no matter what. But maybe they just make this up and they just say, here, this is how bad it is. We could put this out and people will actually believe it, that he needs directions to walk to the podium before he gives a speech. That's how crazy this is. But the story remains the same. Insiders are now leaking information to the left-wing media to try to get Biden out of the race. That's how bad this is. Joe Biden goes on a popular radio station, specifically popular, has a large black audience called Word. It's called Black Talk Media, Word, W-U-R-D, to go on with Andrea Lawful Sanders. And they sent the questions to be asked. So this is all White House request to try to save face with black voters. And the Biden team sends the questions and they say, this is the script for the interview. Here's the questions. Here's the answers. And the host does interviews and says, well, yeah, I interviewed Joe Biden, but it wasn't a real interview. They sent me the script. I just read off of a script. Well, she's now been fired. Can you believe that? Andrea Lawful Sanders fired for reporting the truth that the entire interview with Joe Biden was scripted. So from Joe Biden, he needs a script to walk on a podium. He needs a script to do a radio interview. We've seen when he used to do press conferences, they just canceled the press conference. Now he doesn't even have a press conference. Remember, by the way, that's a lie. NPR is lying. The official statement from Word has already been out. She was fired. Oh, she resigned. Give me a break. They're running cover on their own propaganda now. Oh, my gosh. Remember Joe Biden used to have press conferences and the whole thing would be scripted and he'd have a picture of the journalist he was supposed to call on, the outlet they were with, and then the question he would be asked. You guys remember that? And we know this because there were certain camera angles where you got the shot of Biden's podium and the whole thing was just right there, all scripted out. And he'd go back down to it. He couldn't even hide it. He'd go back down and he'd read through it and see, okay, who am I supposed to call on next? And then you'd see the face and the... Oh, my gosh. It's so bad. But by the way, quickly here, this is funny. Speaking of Biden press conferences, I guess Biden is supposed to be having a press conference soon. Listen to how John Kirby describes an upcoming press conference in clip 19.
After that, the president will hold a press conference. I guess a big boy press conference, yes, is what we're calling it, and take some questions from y'all.
A big boy press conference is what we're calling it, says John Kirby. What does that mean? I think what it means is that everybody knows Joe Biden is unfit and unwell. And the last 10 press conferences he's given are not even press conferences. He speaks for 10 minutes max and doesn't take a single question. So when he says we, and he looks back at his staff, Kirby looks back at his staff and says, oh, I guess we're calling it a big boy press conference. They're making fun of Joe Biden. The Biden administration is now privately and publicly making fun of Joe Biden. He can't even have a press conference. And now I guess he's supposed to have a real press conference, meaning he's going to take questions from the press. That's a press conference. First time like all year. Has he had a press conference all year? And so they're publicly making fun of him, saying, I guess he's finally going to have a big boy press conference. So in other words, a real press conference. Will it be scripted like all of his other press conferences? Will it be 10 minutes like all of his other quote-unquote press conferences? That's how bad this is getting, folks. And then Gavin Newsom has a rally in Pennsylvania to try to drum up some support for Biden and Harris, has a small turnout, so small there are more Trump supporters outside. Gavin Newsom greeted by a small crowd at Pennsylvania rally as Trump supporters crash the party. I wonder if this isn't the Democrats seeing how popular Newsom is in swing states like Pennsylvania to just see, okay, you know, is it realistic to think Gavin Newsom can win an election at this point? Let's go test him in Pennsylvania. Small crowd. Now, that doesn't mean 2028 is beyond a victory for Newsom potentially. But right now, no audience for Gavin Newsom. More Trump supporters showed up. And so this tells you a couple things. It tells you the Democrats are feeling out some potential other candidates. See how popular they are. It also tells you Trump supporters are more informed on just general political news and developments and events than Democrats are, that Trump supporters show up to the Newsom rally more so than even Democrats do. We got more, folks. This story, it's just the disaster continues. The disaster continues for Joe Biden. It's unbelievable. All right, ladies and gentlemen, InfoWarsStore.com. We sell great products, great supplements for your health and nutrition. I am a product of the products at InfoWarsStore.com. The Spirit of 1776 Super Sale is still live with some products up to 60% off, and then top-rated, top-selling supplements like DNA Force Plus, 40% off, Brain Force Ultra and Brain Force Plus, 40% off, Nitric Boost, 40% off. That's all about blood flow. Same with VasoBeat Complete, 40% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, back in stock, been sold out. That's a bestseller, always sells out quick. I would stock up on these products before they sell out. Could be your last time to buy. The Spirit of 76 sale, live, InfoWarsStore.com. All right, it was damage control overdrive for Karine Jean-Pierre during the White House press conference today. Here's just a small clip from that in clip 18.
We provide to all of you.
That's a very basic, direct question.
Wait a second.
Eight times, or at least once, in regards to the president specifically.
Hold on a second.
That much you should be able to answer by this point.
Wait, no. No, wait a minute. Ed, please.
All right, you know, pause it real quick. Perhaps let me give a little context to this specifically. We had medical experts say it looks like Joe Biden has Parkinson's based off the way he walks and the stiffness and rigidness in his gait. Well, now it turns out there has been a Parkinson's doctor meeting regularly with Joe Biden, regularly at the White House, and might even be involved in the Biden crime family. So this is where this is developing from, and Karine Jean-Pierre being forced to respond to it. Go ahead.
So every year around the president's physical examination, he sees a neurologist. That's three times, right? So I am telling you that he has seen a neurologist three times while he has been in this presidency. That's what I'm saying. I am telling you that he has seen them three times. That is what I'm sharing with you, right? So every time he has a physical, he has had to see a neurologist. So that is answering that question.
No, it is.
You're
Dr.
asking
Kevin
me.
Kennard, come I to cannot, the White House.
But I just, and I also said to you, conditions. Ed, I also said to you, for security reasons, we cannot share names. We cannot share names.
We have to. Others he would have met with.
We cannot share names of specialists broadly.
It's all public record.
From a dermatologist to a neurologist. We cannot share names. There are security reasons.
It's literally
we have
on the White House law.
We have to protect. I understand that. Ed, I hear you. I cannot from here confirm any of that because we have to keep their privacy. I think they would appreciate that too.
Folks, this is wow. Just so you understand, let's make this clear. Karine Jean-Pierre is claiming she cannot comment on White House visitors, specifically a doctor, O'Connor, a Parkinson's specialist, because of privacy concerns, even though it's literally public information, and that's why the media has it and is saying, what's the story with this doctor? And she says, I can't talk about it, privacy reasons. Incredible. It's just stunning. She can't dance her way out of this one. Continue.
to keep their privacy.
It's public information.
Guys, hold on a second. There's no reason to get back and go back and forth with me in this aggressive way.
We missed around here about how information's been shared with the press corps around here.
What do you missed about?
Everything he just asked about.
And then every time I come back and I answer the question
and
that you guys asked.
Correctly, you didn't have to come back and clean it up.
I never answered the question incorrectly. That is not true. I was asked about a medical exam. I was asked about a physical. That was in the line of question that I answered. And I said, no, he did not have a medical exam. And I still stand that by that.
My fact, can't stand to be against the same question
that.
Three times.
He had a verbal check. That is something that the president has a couple times a week.
Now in regards to Dr.
Where is Dr. Evil's lair?
I am telling you right now that I am not sharing confirming names from here. It is a security reason. I am not going to do that, Ed. It doesn't matter how hard you push me. It doesn't matter how angry you get with me. I'm not going to confirm a name. It doesn't matter if it's even in the law. I am not going to do that from here. That is not something I am going to do. What I can share with you is that the president has seen a neurologist for his physical three times. Three times. And it is in the reporting that we share a comprehensive reporting. Matter of fact, it's more than what the last guy shared. And it is in line with what George W. Bush did. It's in line with what Obama did. And so it is comprehensive. It is out there.
Okay. We're unraveling fast. There were some more clips from this press conference. It really is like watching a train wreck, and I don't know how they get this train back on the tracks, because the press corps is going to get sick and tired of it. I mean, I think that that's becoming clear here, and part of that might be they're worried about the Democrat chances in 2024 with Joe Biden. So now they're kind of taking it upon themselves to have a role in the ouster of Joe Biden. But that is just incredible levels of propaganda from Queen Jean Pierre. I mean, and she set the standard. I mean, Jay Carney, I think, was probably number one all time. But I think Queen Jean Pierre, the problem is she's not slick. She's just bad at it. But she's saying, I can't comment on public relations. I can't confirm or deny it because of privacy issues, even though it's all public information. It's all right there. The press has access to it. That's why they're bringing it up. And she just says, oh, no, it's privacy. I can't talk about it. So, in other words, the White House, at least the public faces of the White House, are trying to cover up the fact that Joe Biden is meeting with at least one specialist, one neurological specialist that we know of, and that his health is deteriorating. But it's so obvious at this point, even the White House press corps is having to really press her on the issue. But it really even gets worse. It really actually gets worse, because not only is this individual visiting the White House nearly a dozen times, and Karine Jean-Pierre pretends like it's not real, even though it's all public. Because that's what she's really doing. I can't confirm or deny. So she's really denying it. She can't just outright deny it because they have the public documents. But by saying she can't confirm or deny, she's basically denying it. Oh, because if she accepts that yes, Joe Biden is meeting with a neurological specialist, a Parkinson's doctor regularly, well then this is a whole new line of questioning now, isn't it? Why? And why is he on the Biden payroll? The Biden crime family payroll. Well, the House Oversight Committee would like to know. House Oversight Committee requests interview and documents from Joe Biden's physician, one Dr. Kevin O'Connor. And he's all over the Democrat payrolls. He's all over the Biden crime family bank accounts. And would that mean that he has a financial interest in protecting Joe Biden? Could he perhaps be getting paid off to monitor Joe Biden's health and Parkinson's, but not tell the public about it? Hide all the evidence? Hide all the documents? The committee said it would give Dr. Kevin O'Connor until July 14th to reply. I mean, again, at this point, it's almost like, do you just let Biden go on? I mean, I would still like to see some justice in the Biden crime family, but going through extra effort to expose his mental decay is kind of, I mean, it's just, it doesn't even matter. We can witness it every single day that Joe Biden talks. Now, finding out why this guy is on the Democrat Party payroll might be a different story that gets into their other investigations. Now, again, Joe Biden could be suffering from multiple ailments right now. But I think it's probably fair to have a serious conversation about Parkinson's, why he's meeting with a Parkinson's specialist. And it had already been explained years ago that he has all the conditions that would lead one to make an assumption that he might have Parkinson's. The stiff legs, the stiff elbows, the walking gait, unable to sit down at times. So this thing just keeps getting worse. Now, you've got certain levels, you've got different levels, really, of Democrat Party propaganda, because you have the normal propaganda agents are turning against Biden, but then the Biden loyalists are trying to prop him up. Now, this is Rob Reiner. He's turned against Biden. It's time to stop effing around. If the convicted felon wins, we lose our democracy. There it is again. Lose our democracy. Joe Biden has effectively served U.S. with honor, decency, and dignity. That's hilarious. It's time for Joe Biden to step down. Wait a second. Rob, whoa. You just said we'll lose our democracy. Now you're calling for the guy who was voted to be the nominee to be replaced. Wouldn't that be against the democratic process? Wouldn't that be against democracy? Folks, this is hilarious. They're all in. Protect our democracy. It's the propaganda whale that we hear from the Democrats. And then they say, to protect democracy, we have to cancel our democratic process of nominating Joe Biden. It's so beautiful. And they can't even see it for what it is. They really can't even see it for what it is. We need to protect democracy by replacing Joe Biden. But that's who the people voted for. So, huh. And it's the same message everywhere. Here's another one. Democrat mega donor Ari Emanuel. Who really controls the results in American politics? Who really controls the results of the Democrat Party? Certainly the voters, because it's all about democracy. Right, Ari? Clip 27.
But if this is, as Biden says, the fight for our democracy, and he talks about the soldiers, man, he gave us a bunch of malarkey, and I'm really pissed. Right. And we all should be really pissed.
Right. And what does this do to Jeffrey Katzenberg's fundraising?
Well, you know, Jeffrey, I mean, you're going to know in the next couple, you're going to see polling, you're going to see in the next couple of weeks if the money comes in. I talked to a bunch of big donors, and they're moving all their money to Congress and the Senate. I mean, I cannot believe we're in this situation.
Well, All right. Now, we're going to continue this clip. There's another part of this, and I guess I just sent the wrong clip, but it's fine. There's another part of this where he says that funding and money are the lifeblood of politics. And that's where he gets into the funding issue, because he says it's all about funding. It's all about money. So, again, what do you hear? You just heard it from a Democrat mega donor. We need to protect the democracy, but it's all about fundraising. And if the big donors don't want Biden, then he's out. Is that democracy? They say it in the same breath. They say it in the same breath. We need to protect democracy by replacing who the Democrat voters voted for. We need to protect democracy. And that's why the major donors and funders of Democrat Party politics will decide who the nominee will be. They say it in the same breath. I mean, how is this even real? That they cannot grasp the irony of the moment when it's all being said in the same breath, in the same interview, in the same statement. Hey, you guys wanted Biden. You told everybody to vote for Biden. That's called democracy. So the people nominated Joe Biden, and now you want to change that, ignore the vote, and say it's to protect democracy. But here's how this is how they all feel now about Joe Biden. Again, did they believe their own lies? Are they really finally realizing it? Are they now kind of advancing it and realizing, wait a second, we've gone too far with Biden now? But then, I mean, here's what the big Democrat donor says in clip 26.
I mean, I cannot believe we're in this situation.
Well, as one of the great disruptors in your career, I mean, do we have to sit by and sleepwalk?
It's a legal issue now.
Yeah.
You're not in, I'm going to resign, you know, unless the lawyers tell you something else, and maybe there's some wiggle room. I haven't seen it, and I'm not a lawyer, but we're in fuck city.
Okay, I'm glad we got to that.
We're in F City. Now, look, I'm real proud of the work that we do here at InfoWars. I'm really proud of the effort that we put into this show every day, myself and the crew. But, I mean, it's just funny to be so ahead of the curve that you're even ahead of the Democrats in their own party politics. We're ahead of their own party. Isn't it amazing? You're just realizing how screwed you are. You're just realizing Joe Biden can't hack it. You're just realizing Joe Biden is very unwell, very mentally unfit. Are you really just now realizing this? Did you buy your own bullcrap the whole time? Or have you just realized now you're in a disaster zone and he's gotten a lot worse than you thought he would get, and now it could cost you the House, the Senate, governorships, mayor's offices? But see, this is really where people are so confused, and I get it. Well, the Democrats are always a unified front. The Democrats always have a plan. Folks, I've been saying it. They royally screwed this deal up badly. And I know it's hard to believe. I know it's almost impossible to believe that they could really not have a plan right now. I'm telling you, they don't. They don't. They are in F City. And they don't know what to do. And they got about 3 weeks, really, to decide. Short of Joe Biden. Again, though, I don't even think, God forbid, if Joe Biden, if the worst happens, because I don't even like saying it, quite frankly, but if the worst happens to Joe Biden, you know what I'm saying? That's not even really a solution either. Yeah, you might get Biden out of the way. Now you got Harris. Biden has a better chance to win than Harris. I'm telling you that. So they are in F City, and they know it. Now, the deep state, that's a totally different story, and maybe they've got their own plan with the bureaucracies and all this, all the different cards and folders that they have on their desks to play. But that's a different story. The Democrat Party is in F City. They have no plan. Biden has failed. Their lies about Biden have failed. He wasn't able to get across the finish line. And now they got 3 weeks, basically about 3 weeks or less, to decide what the hell they're going to do. They don't want Kamala Harris, but she's in the way. If you come out and force Joe Biden to resign because he's mentally, physically unfit, well, now you've just embarrassed yourself. You got egg all over your face. And then you're still dealing with the same issue, and that's Kamala Harris. And here's the crazy thing. They're so dysfunctional right now. They're so disunified, if you will, that you've now got inner party battles where people want Biden out. Okay? So you have people inside the White House working to get Biden out. You have people inside the media working to get Biden out. You have people inside the Democrat Party who are afraid of their own election chances. They want Biden out. Then you've got a wing over here that really wants Kamala Harris. And she's probably leading that wing now. Who knows? I mean, Hillary might be in there trying to shake some things up. You know, Barack Obama's got his own ideas of what to do with all of this. They're all tugging in different directions, and they can't figure out what to do. I don't know. Maybe it will be Kamala at this point. It might be their only option even. It might be their only option if they're going to remove Joe Biden. You're going to have so much backlash if you skip over Kamala Harris, a black woman. It's just inevitable. They don't want Kamala Harris. She's unelectable. So you can't skip over her. So then you think, well, okay, now we got to run with Biden. Well, what are you going to do if he can't talk in 3 weeks? I'm telling you, folks, they don't have a plan. They don't even know. They are in disaster territory. And all Biden has done is dig his heels in to make it even harder on them. So now there's this own, there's a power struggle between Biden, Kamala Harris, and then the Democrat Party apparatus, which is the media and other members of the party that are running for election right now. And they're all tugging in different directions. It's a train wreck. It's an absolute train wreck. Now, okay, so what do they do? Well, I can talk about the two angles. That's what the Democrats can do to try to win it with Joe, and then potentially the deep state having an ace of spades, if you will, to just turn the table over and then Biden is just permanently installed or who knows what. Because it doesn't matter. Biden's not running anything. But if you're going to have an election, then he has to at least be presentable. So here's what they're doing. House Democrats whip against GOP's latest non-citizen voting crackdown. This is incredible. This is the SAVE Act. It's very simple. It says non-citizens can't vote. And every single Democrat has voted against it. Every single Democrat voted against the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, which says you need to document proof of United States citizenship to vote in federal elections. And so the party that says they want to protect democracy has voted against protecting democracy. Now, why would that be? We all know why. Because the Democrats need illegal voters. Case closed. Elon Musk responds to this. Those who oppose the SAVE Act are traitors. All caps, traitors. What is the penalty for traitors again? Was he talking about treason? Folks, they're fighting for illegal aliens to vote. And everybody can see it. Everybody can see it. Now, here's their hilarious response. The Democrats are saying, well, why did we vote against the SAVE Act? Because it's already a law. Here's the official statement from the Democrat Party and the president. The administration strongly opposes the SAFE Act, as it is already illegal for non-citizens to vote in federal elections. Well, it's already illegal for people to cross into the country illegally, but we see that's going on. It's already illegal for you to murder somebody with a gun, but you want to make new laws and pass bills and legislation and regulations to stop that. There's all kinds of things that are already illegal that the Democrats have all kinds of redundancy in the bureaucratic process to make them more illegal. But with this, this is where they draw the line, folks. This is where they draw the line. Speaker Mike Johnson replies, "It should alarm every American citizen that the sitting president of the United States, who has opened our border to over 9 million illegals," you played a role in that too, Speaker, "just announced that he would veto our bill to prevent non-citizens from voting." Incredible. So, what is one angle that we know the Democrats are going to use to try to win this election? If it's Joe Biden or Clown Harris or whoever they choose. Non-citizens voting. Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen exposed the Biden administration for helping illegals register to vote. Allen claimed the administration is using the National Voter Registration Act to require that non-citizens who come in contact with certain state agencies be given voter registration forms. Now, think about this. What has the Biden administration been saying about protecting the border? They say they need more money for what? For the bureaucratic process, to hire more people, to process them in. Well, what are they talking about? This is what they're talking about. They need the non-citizens, they need the illegal aliens to come in contact with state agencies so that they can register them to vote. That's what this whole push has been. That's why they've been using all of this money to hire people to move the process along with the illegal aliens so that they can get them registered to vote. That's what it's been about. It's never been about protecting the border. It's been opening the border up, bringing non-citizens in, getting them in contact with state agencies, and registering them to vote. The Alabama Secretary of State goes on. This policy mandates that non-citizens receive information regarding registering to vote in Alabama and registration forms required to register to vote. Bingo. This thing is just beginning, I'll have you know. There will be more big news on this. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Now, they'll have some spin. Oh, yeah, of course the Democrats rejected the SAVE Act, because they are planning on having non-citizens vote. It's been in the works for 4 frickin' years since Joe Biden took office. Wisconsin Supreme Court, new liberal majority reverses ruling that banned most ballot drop boxes in swing states. Oh, they're bringing the drop boxes back. Now see, Republicans shut the drop boxes down. In Wisconsin, they've just brought them back. Now, they're going to have to make a decision with Biden, or he won't even be on the ballot in Wisconsin. What will they do then?
Groom has been convinced it's going to be Kamala. They believe Politico is letting the cat out of the bag.
Did they just publish this again? Because the date on this says July 8th. You guys brought me the same story last week. The point being that the Democrats are raising all this money right now, and the only person that can spend it is Kamala Harris. And maybe the reason why there's so much extra money coming in is because they know they're going to have to make up a lot of ground when Kamala replaces Joe. Either way, they're screwed. Either way, they're screwed. And yes, of course, they will continue to go after Trump. They might have to get new charges against Trump. I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to reach back in time to do it. By the way, Trump made the announcement. He has a Freedom First event happening Thursday, July 18th, and the nominee for vice president will be in attendance with him. And then Stephen Miller, one of the top advisors on the Trump team, has said that we will know as soon as next week who the vice president nominee will be. And now that it feels like, we have somewhat of a set date and we can kind of actually see that it's happening, I just hope Trump makes a decision that's not going to sour the mouths of his base. And it looks like the front runners are all going to kind of, Burgum, Bill Gates' friend, Marco Rubio, Lil Marco, Bubble Bath Boy, J.D. Vance, some people don't like him. I mean, he's probably better than maybe the other two. I don't know. But then you lose a vote in the Senate. Rumors of General Flynn being part of the conversation, he has dispelled. I'd like to see Vivek Ramaswamy, I think, at this point, given the list of what it's down to, maybe even Ben Carson. So I just hope I would just like to see the momentum going right now. I think the momentum for the Trump campaign is going the right direction, and I would hate to see him stall that momentum with a sour vice presidential pick that just kind of makes us go, ugh. Well, that could be where it goes. I'm not even going to bother. I already said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, who I think it's really down to, but we may know. We may know in about 10 days or so. Now, man, oh man. I don't know. I kind of got a feeling it's going to be really? That's kind of where it feels like, but we shall see. Now, here's the latest Democrat propaganda claiming that Biden has been busy working the last 10 days, with 18 public appearances, and Trump has been a disappearing act for 10 days. You know, that's funny that you want to go down that route, that Biden is the one that's active and Trump is the one that is inactive. When, of course, we know Joe Biden has spent more days on vacation than any other president in U.S. history, and it's not even close. Joe Biden took a week to prepare for a debate, just disappeared, as the president, by the way, just disappeared. And Biden constantly is having lids called before noon, shutting down the White House press pool at random times, leading people to be convinced that there's medical emergencies happening all the time. So that's an interesting play to claim that Biden is more active than Trump. I guess somebody's buying it. And then the other one is that Biden is getting packed crowds. Said Biden is getting a packed house for a rally in Madison, Wisconsin today. Now, I want to tell you how bad this really is. And I know it's summer. So you might say, well, you know, there's not all the students there during the summer. Well, I've lived in a college town during a summer, and there's still a lot of students there. A lot of people in college still attend summer school. A lot of upperclassmen will end up just living in these towns year-round. So why am I saying this? Well, these are typical Democrat voters, and when you go to a college town, there's a reason why Democrats go to college towns, because they can usually get a nice big rally. Okay, so they're claiming Biden packs the house. But let's go ahead and observe this. This is the packed house here. Just B-roll clip 7 for me, guys. Just put it on the screen here. Folks, this is a grade school auditorium? A grade school auditorium or a gymnasium? A grade school. Not even a high school, a grade school. You know what? Pause it right here. Pause it right here. I could actually tell you how many people attended this. Let me just do a quick head count here. Okay, 16. All right, so you're looking at about 70 or so people in that shot, and that might be generous, but we'll say 70. Okay, now flip it back to the beginning, guys. Flip it back to the front of the auditorium. Okay, perfect. And I'd say you're probably looking at about maybe about 100 people there. Yeah, that's basically me, and I'm bad at math. I'll be generous, and I'll say Joe Biden got 200 people at a rally. 200 people, and they're claiming that's a packed rally, folks. 200 people. And the Democrat Party propaganda agents are telling you that this is a packed house. He filled a grade school gymnasium, ladies and gentlemen. A grade school gymnasium, 200 people max. And this is their packed house? Have you seen a Trump rally? And this is in liberal Madison, Wisconsin. Blue Madison, Wisconsin. And they can't even get young people to show up. These are all older people. That's their packed house. He filled a grade school gymnasium, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. There's no way. But I don't know. Again, it's like they don't know what they're going to do. They're just screwed. They're screwed. They're in F City, as top Democrat mega donor said, Ari Emanuel. The Democrats are in F City. But they did it to themselves. I guess they love effing America, and at the end of the day, they love effing themselves as well. Well, if you're going to F yourself, you're going to want to have nice, steady blood flow. And so that's why we sell cardiovascular health products like Nitric Boost at InfoWarsStore.com or my preferred favorite, VasoBeat Complete, both 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com right now, part of the Spirit of 1776 sale. I would buy these products before they sell out. Could potentially be your last time to purchase. Spirit of 76 sale, up to 60% off products right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Very important, Vitamin Mineral Fusion. Vitamin Mineral Fusion is back in stock. This is a top-rated product, very popular product, one of our most popular products ever. Sells out almost immediately when we purchase it. We've just got it back in stock. And I believe it's 25% off. Yes, that's right, 25% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion. Just look what it's all about. More than 100% your daily value, vitamin A, vitamin B6, vitamin B12, vitamin C, vitamin D, and so much more in one scoop of Vitamin Mineral Fusion. And it tastes great. 25% off right now, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, InfoWarsStore.com.
Who takes a big risk? Right there. Luckily, we all love Led Zeppelin, and we all know Joe Biden is kind of Alice Cooper-looking creature, actually. But you don't usually throw a rejoin music at me without my confirmation, or I go into tyrant mode. All right. It does distract me from what I'm supposed to be covering here. So make sure we cut this from the segment upload. Now, let's look at some international news here. A bunch of responses to the French elections, trying to make sense of it all when you're an American is tough because their system is so much different. They have all these different parties. French elections, why the far right didn't get the watershed win they expected. Five things to know about France's messy election. Well, there are people claiming fraud and all this other stuff. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know enough to say for certain that there was fraud or that it was stolen. But it was messy. Governing France will be hellish now. It's really a split government, and that's the problem. Le Pen is down but not out. Macron's gamble backfired, but it could have been worse. So basically, Le Pen and the party she represents didn't get the power that they needed or wanted. However, they did still gain a lot, and it kind of just nullified what Macron can do. Now, again, trying to make sense of what the French are doing, I don't know, because they riot when they win or lose. The left in France riots when they win or when they lose. So the left had a victory, or at least they stopped the right from having a victory, so they rioted. So they riot no matter what. And that's just the French tradition. They just like to riot. So they were rioting. But, you know, there's a video here. You guys can just B-roll clip 23 that I actually think says a lot. And it's the reaction from the Le Pen party headquarters to what they're calling a loss. I don't know if it's even fair to call it a loss because they did better than expected a year ago. And they still gained politically, but they didn't get the majority, versus the left. So what you have is you have well-dressed, well-mannered people waving French flags versus the left, which are a bunch of androgynous-looking street urchins and not a single French flag in sight. Not a single French flag in sight. But notice, if you just pause it in any of these frames, and look, I'm not here to be the judge, but you can learn a lot from appearance. There's a reason why people have a preference in what they wear and how they style themselves when they go out in public, because appearance is relevant. It matters. And the appearance of the French right wing, who, by the way, was cheering, and then the far left, which ends up rioting, even though in their eyes it was a victory. But there's just something about the appearance. It's like they don't even want to look like a man or a woman. It's like they want to look gender confused. They want to look strange. They want to look deranged. They want to look like mental patients. There's something to that. It's all about the destruction of normal. It's all about lowering the bar. It's all about lowering the standard so that they can all just be lazy bums. And that's why they love big government. Because they think big government allows them the ability to be lazy and still get a lifestyle. Or at least there won't be somebody else's whose lifestyle they envy because they'll bring them down to their level. So I actually think that's a real powerful image there, beyond just the classy response from the right versus the rioting from the left. There's something to be said. There's a vibe there. And the vibe of the left is unhuman hatred for biology, creation, the natural order, how things are supposed to be. It's all about destruction. I think it's a very powerful image. And no French flags, by the way. And that, I guess that really tells the whole story. Is not a single French flag in sight. But there really is something else to the appearance. All right, now, what's going on in Ukraine? Russian missile attack kills 36, hits children's hospital, Ukraine says. Russian missiles hit children's hospital in Kiev as Ukrainian President Zelensky vows retaliation. Now, there's a lot of back and forth. Was it really a Russian missile or was it a Ukrainian missile? Some people have done an analysis and said, well, this is the exact type of missile that the West is providing to Ukraine. And because the Ukrainian military doesn't have much experience with these missiles, and they have very little time to get the training on how to properly use these missiles, that they've basically had bad launches and have hit their own people. And this has been confirmed in the past in this most recent struggle where Ukraine has you know, accidentally fired on their own people, if you will, or just had a misfire because they don't know how to use them. Now, you could argue, are they doing it intentionally to demonize Russia, or is it really just an accident? So that debate is being had. Russia is, of course, denying it. But having said that, because that's speculation at this point, I could see Ukraine false flagging. I could see Ukraine misfiring. But I could also maybe see Russia starting to get involved in Kiev, even though it goes against Putin's latest statements. I would if I had to guess, I would speculate that this was a Ukrainian misfire is probably my speculation. So but it's all being debated right now. Russia, though, is preparing, I believe, to go into Kiev if Trump loses in 2024. And they're really building up. They're really building up their military forces to cross the river and do a full-on onslaught of Ukraine. But I think they're going to wait for the results of the election. And here's why. Because this is what Putin said in a recent press conference. I'll read the captions from clip 22. In regard to the global security, I just said we need to wait until a new administration is in place to understand what their views are, what plans they have, and if they're willing to discuss them. I repeat once again, we get signals from time to time that they want to resume the dialogue with us, but then they disappear. Start talking about some random topics that have no direct correlation to the matters of strategic stability. I repeat once again, let's wait until a new administration is formed and understand their plans and desires. I want to say once again, we are ready to do it. So he's talking about the Biden administration, and there's just no discussions. There's no effort for peace. And that's because the Biden administration is laundering money and weapons through Ukraine. The Kiev oligarchs are getting fat and rich, and all the CIA proxy groups in the Middle East are being rearmed and refunded after Trump cut it all off. So that's why Putin is saying he's going to wait and see what the new administration. But it is true that the Russians are building up a massive force to cross the river and go into Kiev. So that is going on. Now, would they start to do some preemptive strikes now? And could that be what that missile was? Or was that a misfire or a false flag? And Russia, as Putin says, is really waiting for a change of administration. So that's the latest there. I guess I'll try to press through this Israel news, but it's kind of heavy here. Netanyahu, Gaza deal must let Israel resume fighting until war goals met. So they're basically saying Hamas stand down and we're just going to keep destroying everything. Israel turbocharges West Bank settlement expansion with largest land grab in decades. So exactly as we predicted it was all about a land grab. The level of devastation in Gaza likely helped push Hamas to soften ceasefire demands. The whole thing is just devastated. So then they were saying, okay, well, let's have a negotiation. And then Netanyahu said, not so fast. You guys stop firing, not us. All right, I got more on this. We'll be right back. All right, so let's just rehash this quickly. The ceasefire is not a ceasefire. It's IDF Netanyahu wants Hamas to just stand down so that they can go in there and finish the job of leveling whatever part of the Gaza Strip that hasn't been leveled yet so that they can claim it. Now, again, Israel is now moving in and settling the Gaza Strip in the West Bank, in what is being called the largest land grab in decades. Now, we reported this day one. It was obvious that was their plan. Now, as of this moment, Israel has basically had little to no resistance. They've been fighting with Hezbollah in the north, but as far as the Palestinians are concerned and the Gaza Strip is concerned and Rafah is concerned, there's virtually been no pushback. And so maybe they've angered Iran with some of the things they've done, but still very little pushback. And then they are fighting with Hezbollah, but that seems to stay in the northern parts and not really expand. Now, there are issues for Israel in that Netanyahu is losing popularity. He's losing some of his top generals and supports in the streets. A lot of the Israelis are fleeing they have dual citizenship, so they're just fleeing the country because they're feeling threatened under Netanyahu's leadership. But it was always going to be a land grab. That was the whole point. And now what makes it worse, Yaniv Kubovich is reporting for Haaretz and claims to have a source inside the IDF that is reporting what we also reported day one. IDF ordered Hannibal directive on October 7th to prevent Hamas taking soldiers captive. So they're basically claiming that not only was there a stand down, but that the IDF was firing on its own people to prevent any soldiers from being held hostage, is now the latest report. So it might be even worse. It wasn't just a stand down. It was increase the carnage. Now, who knows? This could be the IDF releasing this statement to change the narrative and excuse what they did on October 7th, which was their excuse to conquer the Gaza Strip. And they just said, well, okay, yeah. How did members of Hamas parasail in and ram a truck through a fence and commit so much carnage? Was there a stand down? Oh, no. Well, I guess we did it. Actually, we did it. It's called the Hannibal Directive, so we did that, actually. That's why there was so much carnage. So I don't know what's worse, Israel standing down to have the excuse to conquer the Gaza Strip and kill 50,000 Palestinians, or Israel now, either it's someone from the IDF releasing this because it's true, or someone from the IDF releasing this to change the narrative and say, actually, we killed all those people. It's called the Hannibal Directive. We didn't want any of our soldiers being taken captive. I don't know what's worse. Result is the same, however. And it's exactly as we predicted it. Israel was involved in the October 7th attack. And it was all part of the excuse to conquer the Gaza Strip, which has now almost been completely leveled. And the land grab and the settlements are now being installed. I guess the world is going to stand idly by and let Israel get away with this. Many Israelis think that's not the case. That's why they're fleeing. There is pushback even from some commanders at the top of the IDF, but Netanyahu is just firing them. So it would appear Netanyahu has just gone completely crazy in his bloodlust and completely crazy in his desire for his legacy to be sealed of taking the Gaza Strip. But what's dangerous is Netanyahu has successfully dragged the United States into Israel's wars on three prior occasions. And I just hope it's not a fourth if the escalations against Israel continue and then us, the United States, get involved in it. That would be the worst case. Now, Joe Biden had his supposed recovery interview with George Stephanopoulos, who's pretending to be a real journalist and push Biden on his mental health like he didn't know it the whole time. Give me a break. And for the most part, the mainstream media, the Democrats, don't want you to see this. Many people have not seen this. I think this is worse than the debate for Joe Biden simply because this was supposed to be his recovery interview and he totally blew it. So I'm going to play this for you now and do a little breakdown. Let's not waste any more time. Here's Joe Biden in a second follow-up disastrous interview with George Stephanopoulos.
Mr. President, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the debate. You and your team have said you had a bad night. But your friend Nancy Pelosi actually framed the question that I think is on the minds of millions of Americans. Was this a bad episode or the sign of a more serious condition?
Ooh. It was a bad episode. No indication of any serious condition. I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts.
He was exhausted.
In terms of preparing.
Seven days of rest before.
You say you were exhausted, and I know you've said that before as well, but you came, and you did have a tough month, but you came home from Europe about 11 or 12 days before the debate, spent 6 days in Camp David. Why wasn't that enough rest time, enough recovery time?
Because I was sick. I was feeling terrible. Matter of fact,
now he was
the docs
sick
with me, I asked them, they did a COVID test because they were trying to figure out what was wrong. They did a test to see whether or not I had some infection, you know, a virus. I didn't. They just had a really bad cold.
A cold in the middle of summer.
And Did you ever?
By the way,
the
didn't they just
afterwards?
Say Kamala Harris's husband just got tested for COVID? Has COVID? Who
well,
still tests for COVID?
What I want to get at is, what were your experiences?
How's that vaccine
as you were
work?
Going through the debate? Did you know how badly it was going?
Yeah. Look.
Ooh.
The Brain whole freeze. Way I prepared, nobody's fault, mine. Nobody's fault but mine. I prepared what I usually would
so,
do.
So that's your fault, but not the border and the economy and the disaster and the wars. No, that's your fault, but the debate is. Okay.
Explicit detail. And I realized about partway through that, you know, all the, I get quoted, the New York Times had me down at 10 points before the debate, 9 now or whatever the hell it is. The fact of the matter is that what I looked at is that he also lied 28 times. I couldn't, I mean, the way the debate ran, not my fault, no one else's fault. No one else's fault.
But it seemed like you were having trouble from
the
first
question. Now
he's
claiming the debate was rigged against him.
Even before he spoke.
Well, I just had a bad night. You've had some bad interviews once in a while. I can't remember any, but I'm sure you do.
I've had plenty. I guess the question, the problem is here for a lot of Americans watching is you've said going back to 2020, watch me, yep. To people who are concerned about your age. And, you know, 50 million Americans watched that debate. It seemed to confirm fears they already had.
Well, look, after that debate, I did 10 major events in a row, including till 2 o'clock in the morning after that debate. I did events in North Carolina. I did events in Georgia, did events like this today. Large crowds, overwhelming response.
Large crowds.
No slipping. And so I just had a bad night. I don't know why.
And how quickly did it come to you that you were having that bad night?
Well, Kane was having a bad night when I realized that.
Slurring his words.
Even when I was answering a question, even though I turned his mic off, he was still shouting. And I let it distract me. I'm not blaming it on that.
When did that happen?
But I realized that I just wasn't in control.
Oh, he was supposed to be in control?
Is that, this seems to fit into a pattern of decline that has been reported on recently. New York Times had a headline on July 2nd, Biden's lapses are said to be increasingly common and worrisome. Here's what they wrote. People who have spent time with President Biden over the last few months or so said the lapses appear to have grown more frequent, more pronounced, and after Thursday's debate more worrisome. By many accounts, as evidenced by video footage, observation, and interviews, Mr. Biden is not the same today as he was even when he took office 3.5 years ago. Similar reporting in the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal. Are you the
Biden
same man today that you
here.
Were when
He's
you took office 3.5 years ago?
In terms of successes, yes. I also was the guy who put together a peace plan for the Middle East.
How's that going?
That may become into fruition. I was also
that's just stealing
NATO.
The stolen dollar from Trump. The Abraham Accords happened under Trump. They've been torn apart now because of Joe Biden.
I had or I fulfilled. I moved on. And so, for example, you know, well that was true then. What's Biden done lately? It's just today, just announced 200,000 new jobs. We're moving in a direction that no one's ever taken on. I know you know this from the days in the in the government.
You know,
I took on Big Pharma. I beat them.
Okay, pause it right there. I'm sorry. I need to address two things real quickly here. He addressed Big Pharma. He cut like a $200 billion deal for the vaccines that nobody wants. Most of them got trashed. So he bought out Big Pharma, and then he said, hey, look, I'll give you $200 billion. Cut your prices over here so I can claim a victory. Just more pay for play. It's what Biden is known for. But, you know, I've realized something as I hear more and more of the Democrats talk about the economy and jobs this and interest rates that and all this other crap. And, you know, something really hit me hard over the 4th of July, and I don't even know why, but it just was like, I guess it's just from hearing the same things over and over, and they keep claiming victory on the economy. And I've kind of always felt this way about politics, but you can sit here and talk about anything on the economy. And you can talk about relevant things. And you can make claims about jobs. So you can talk about relevant things like the interest rates. You can make claims about jobs and unemployment and all this other crap. But, you know, it really hit me. There's only one thing that actually matters. Of all the noise, of all the different economic balls that are in play for them to take swings at and throw back and forth. There's only one thing that actually matters. There's only one thing, and that is the consumer price index, because it all just boils down to that at the end of the day. And I would say it's because it really hit me, I think, with the gas prices and with getting groceries this week. I guess maybe because it was 4th of July, I had some family and some friends in town. So I was driving a little bit more, getting some more groceries. And it really hit me. The cost of living in the United States is probably about double under Joe Biden. I would say it's about double. I think that's fair to say. It might actually be more. It might actually be more when you add it all up. Your price at the pump has nearly doubled. Your grocery bill's gone up about 20%. Your energy bill's gone up about 20%. So, I mean, everywhere you look, the cost of living is up. That's really, at the end of the day, the only thing that matters. Again, you can get in all these different things about inflation and unemployment and everything else. It's all about the cost of living. And the cost of living has just about doubled under Joe Biden. So they can make all these ridiculous claims about the economy. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing all this crap. Most people don't even understand any of it. But what do they understand? The cost of living. The cost of living in Bidenomics has about doubled since he took over for Donald Trump. All right, that's enough of that. We'll just continue here.
I took on all the things we said we got done. We're told we couldn't get done.
You said you would cure cancer. Remember that?
I said when I ran.
He literally said he would cure cancer when he was campaigning.
Restore some decency to the office. Restore some support for the middle class instead of trickle-down economics built from the middle out and the bottom up. The way the wealthy
again, these are just campaign buzzwords. There's no such thing as the economic theory of trickle-down economics. And this whole builds from the bottom up and the middle out. It just makes it up. These are just buzzwords. They mean nothing, and they have no results.
I just think it cost me a really bad night, bad run. But, you know, I'm optimistic about this country.
Loses his train of thought.
I don't think we're a country of losers, that he points out. I don't think America's in tough shape. I think America's on the cusp of breaking through in so many incredible opportunities. This next term, I'm going to make sure we have a straighten out the tax system. I'm going to make sure we're in a situation where we have health care for all people. We're in a position where we have child care and elder care, free up, and all these things. One thing I'm proudest of is, remember when my economic plan was put forward, a lot of the mainstream economists said it's not going to work.
And they were
guess
right.
Guess what? You now have 16 Nobel laureates, 16 of them in economics, saying that Biden's next term would be, based on what he wants to do, enormous success. Trump's plan would cause a recession.
So now they can't sell the American people that Bidenomics has worked in his first term. So now they're saying, oh, but in the next term it'll work. Oh, okay.
Disputing that, what I'm asking you is about your personal situation. Do you dispute that there have been more lapses, especially in the last several months?
Can I run the 110 flat? No. But I'm still in
what does that
shape.
Even mean?
Are you more frail?
No.
Oh, my God.
I know you
come
spoke.
Keep my schedule.
I know you spoke with your doctor after the debate. What did he say?
He said he just looked at me. He said, you're exhausted. I said, look, medical doctors travel me everywhere. Every president does, as you know. Medical doctors, some of the best in the world, travel me everywhere I go. I have an ongoing
slurring his words
assessment of what I'm doing. They don't hesitate to tell me if they think there's something wrong.
I know you said you have an ongoing assessment. Have you had a full neurological and cognitive evaluation?
I get a full neurological test every day with me. And I've had a full physical. I've been a Walter Reed for my physicals. I mean, yes. The answer is
I know your doctor said he consulted with a neurologist.
The answer is no.
I'm asking a slightly different question. Have you had the specific cognitive tests, and have you had a neurologist, a specialist, do an examination?
No, no one said I had to.
The answer changes. The answer is no now. No one said he had to.
Would you be willing to undergo an independent medical evaluation that included neurological and cognitive tests and release the results to the American people?
Look, I have a cognitive test every single day.
No, you don't.
Every day I have that test. Everything I do. You know,
you take days off at a time.
But I'm running the world. Not, and that's not how it sounds like hyperbole. But we are the essential nation in the world.
Now imagine, Biden claims he's running the world, okay? Which we know he's not even running the White House at this point. But he claims he's running the world. Have you looked around the world lately, Joe? War in the Middle East, war in Ukraine, China and Russia forming a new union against the West. He's running the world, okay.
In Europe with regard to expansion of NATO and whether it's going to stick. I'm taking on Putin. I mean, every day,
he's taking
there's no
on
day I go through. They're not those decisions I have to make every single day.
And you have been doing that, and the American people have been watching, yet their concerns about your age and your health are growing. So that's why I'm asking, to reassure them, would you be willing to have the independent medical evaluation?
Watch me between. There's a lot of time left in this campaign. It's over 125 days.
That will backfire.
So the answer, the right answer right now is no. You don't want to do that right now.
No, I've already done it.
You talked a lot about your successes at the beginning of this interview, and I don't want to dispute that.
And so he's saying, I take a cognitive test every day because I'm the president. Well, yeah, that's what we're seeing, is you as the president failing a cognitive test every day. That's the whole point of people telling you to drop out.
How do you serve effectively for the next 4 years?
George, I'm the guy that put NATO together, the future. No one thought I could expand it.
What?
I'm the guy that shut Putin down. No one thought it could happen.
So now he claims he put NATO together, which he has been in American politics for 60 years. But okay, you're the one that expanded NATO, so you're the one that started the war in Ukraine. Wow, what a claim.
Outside of Europe as well to help Ukraine. I'm the guy that got Japanese to expand their budget. For example, when I decided we used to have 40% of the computer chip, and we invented the chip, the little chip for the computer chip. It's in everything from cell phone to weapons.
Thank you.
So we used to have 40%, and we're down to virtually nothing. So I get in the plane against the advice of everybody, and I fly to South Korea. I convince them to invest in the United States, billions of dollars. Now we have tens of billions of dollars being invested in the United States, making us back in a position where we're going to own that industry again. I don't want to take too much credit. I have a great staff.
But my point is.
Oh, now he doesn't want to take credit. So first he's doing all of this, but now he doesn't want to take credit. Okay.
Do it for another 4 years.
I believe so. I wouldn't be around if I didn't think I did.
If you wouldn't think I did. Lose his train of thought.
I'm running again because I think I understand best what has to be done to take this nation to a completely new level. We're on our way. And look, the decision recently
Why is he running again, though?
Supreme Court on immunity. You know, the next president...
Because Jill loves running the White House and being on the cover of Vogue magazine and having rallies. That's why.
It's not about...
And Hunter, I guess, loves hanging out at the White House. Makes him feel cool.
It's about the character of the president. The character of the president is going to determine whether or not this Constitution is employed the right way.
Let me ask you a tougher, more...
The character of the president is going to determine whether the Constitution is employed the right way. Wow, that is just straight garbage mouth.
Yes, I am, because George, the last thing I want to do is not be able to meet that. I think
can you imagine him in 2 years, let alone four?
Senior foreign policy specialist say, if I stop now, I'd go down in history as a pretty successful president. No one thought I could get done what we got done.
But are you being honest with yourself as well about your ability to defeat Donald Trump right now?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
You say that, and let me challenge you. Sure. Because you were close, but behind going into the debate. You're further behind now, by any measure. It's been a two-man race for several months. Inflation has come down. In those last few months, he's become a convicted felon.
It hasn't come down. It's
yet you're still
growing.
Falling further behind.
You guys keep saying that. George, you know polling better than anybody. You think polling data is accurate as it used to be?
I don't think so, but I think when
mean?
You look
it's
at all the polling data
Why
right
is it
now,
inaccurate now versus
it shows that?
That
he's certainly ahead in the popular vote, probably even more ahead.
So when the polls are against us, they're inaccurate.
States.
When the polls are for us, they are accurate. So he's earlier he was saying, well, I'm actually doing good in the polls. We looked at the polls.
In the House are doing better
now he's saying,
are.
Well, the polls are inaccurate now that I'm losing. The polls are
That's
inaccurate.
Not unusual in some states. I carried an awful lot of Democrats last time I ran. In 2020. Look, I remember them telling me the same thing in 2020. I can't win. The polls show I can't win. Remember 2020, the red wave was coming. Before the vote, I said, that's not going to happen. We're going to win. We did better
than
all
of you. You said you had a giant election fraud
become a president ever has done. They said in 2023, all the tough races, we're not going to win. I went into all those areas, all those districts, and we won.
No, we didn't.
All that is true. But 2020 was a close race. And your approval rating has dropped significantly since then. I think the last poll I saw was at about 36%. The number of Americans who think you're too old to serve has doubled since 2020. Wouldn't a clear-eyed political calculus tell you that it's going to be much tougher to win in 2024?
Not when you're running against a pathological liar. Not when he hadn't been challenged in a way that he's about to be challenged. Not when people...
You've had months to challenge him.
Well, sure I had months, but I was also doing a hell of a lot of other things, like wars around the world.
He was doing wars around the world. Nice.
Like working... Anyway. But look...
Anyway.
Do you really believe you're not behind right now?
I think it's... all the pollsters I talk to tell me it's a toss-up. It's a toss-up. And when I'm behind... There's only one poll I'm really far behind, CBS poll and NBC.
That's two polls.
And
New York Times and NBC both have you about 6 points behind in the popular vote.
That's exactly right. New York Times had me behind.
Oh, so three polls now.
Anything to do with this race had me behind 10 points. 10 points had me behind. Nothing's changed substantially in the New York Times poll.
Just when you look at the reality, though, Mr. President, I mean... You won the popular vote in 2020, but it was still deadly close in the Electoral
By
College.
7 million votes.
Yes, but you're behind now in the popular vote.
I don't buy that.
Is it worth the risk?
I don't think anybody's more qualified to be president or win this race than me.
You know, the heart of your case against Donald Trump is that he's only out for himself, putting his personal interests ahead of the national interest. How do you respond to critics who say that by staying in the race, you're doing the same thing?
Oh, come on.
He's
I don't think those critics know what they're talking about.
They're just wrong?
It's wrong. Look, Trump is a pathological liar. Trump is... He is... Have you ever seen anything Trump did that benefited somebody else and not him?
What's that?
You can't answer, I know.
I've questioned him and his allies as persistently as any journalist has.
Oh, I know you have. I'm not being critical.
By the way, Trump, there's all kinds of stories about Trump doing things for other people. He's like famous for it, actually. Building ice rinks, taking homeless people into his hotels. I mean, hell, he's given up his life just to try to save the country, so.
As I said, they pointed out in that debate he lied 27, 28 times the times, or whatever number, over 20 times. Talk about how good his economy was, how he brought down inflation, how this is a guy... who, unlike only other president other than him, is Hoover, lost more jobs than he created. This is a guy who told us to put bleach in our arms to deal with COVID, with over a million people dying.
Just lying through his
teeth
now.
This is a guy who talks about wanting to get rid of the health care provision we put in place. This is a guy who wants to give the power back to Big Pharma to be able to charge exorbitant prices
for vaccine mandates.
Drugs. This is a guy who wants to undo every single thing I've done.
Well, that might be
every
true.
Every single thing.
I understand Good. That. I understand that's why you want to stay in the race. But have you convinced yourself that only you can defeat him?
I convinced myself of two things. I'm the most qualified person to beat him, and I know how to get things done.
If you can be convinced that you cannot defeat Donald Trump, will you stand down?
Well, it depends. If the Lord Almighty comes out and tells me that, I might do that.
Well, on a more practical level, Washington Post just reported in the last hour that Senator Mark Warner is assembling a group of senators together to try and convince you to stand down because they don't think you can win.
Well, Mark is a good man. We've never had that. He also tried to get the nomination, too. Mark's not. Mark and I have a different perspective. I respect him.
And if Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries and Nancy Pelosi come down and say, we're worried that if you stay in the race, we're going to lose the House and the Senate, how will you respond?
I go into detail with them. I've spoken to all of them in detail, including Jim Clyburn.
Oh, yeah.
Every one of them. They all said I should stay in the race. Stay in the race. No one said, none of the people said.
One. Should be, Jim Clyburn was one.
Well, it's like, they're not going to do that.
You sure?
Yeah, sure. Look.
Look.
I mean, If the Lord Almighty came down and said, Joe, get out of the race, I'd get out of the race. The Lord Almighty's not coming down. I mean, these hypotheticals, George,
But it's not that hypothetical anymore. I grant that they have not requested the meeting, but it's been reported.
Well, I've met with them. I've met with a lot of these people. I've talked with them regularly. I had an hour conversation with Akeem. I had more time with them than Jim Clyburn. I spent time with many hours off and on the last little bit with Chuck Schumer. It's not like I had all the governors. All the governors.
I agree that the Lord Almighty is not going to come down.
Yeah, the governors want you out. All right, so that's fine. We're going to move on. We got some other stuff. What do you think? I think that was worse than the debate because that was supposed to be his recovery interview on the arc to gain some momentum. And instead, Stephanopoulos just pushes him the whole time to basically drop out during the interview. And it's just the same old Joe Biden lying through his teeth, forgetting what he's supposed to say. Don't forget Vitamin Mineral Fusion back in stock. InfoWarsStore.com. 25% off right now. Part of the Spirit of 1776 sale that is still live. Still live right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Huge discounts on great products. InfoWarsStore.com. Get your hands on Vitamin Mineral Fusion before it sells out. All right, now, you heard Joe Biden say, oh, Trump is only in it for himself. Well, any neutral observer can see it's quite the opposite. Here's what Tulsi Gabbard thinks about that in clip 3.
I don't question Donald Trump's loyalty to our country. The guy has been, 92 or 97 felony charges now. He's being held up in a court of law. He is, his bank account is being cleaned out by all of these various charges and rulings that are coming through. The guy is losing money. He is being attacked relentlessly. He has the Department of Justice being weaponized against him. Why would a guy like him put himself through that if not motivated by a desire to serve our country and to save our country from the Biden-Harris administration, the Democrat elite, who are actually destroying it? They are actually taking away our freedom. They are actually going after our kids. They are taking parents' rights away from them. They are making our country less secure through open borders. These aren't Democrat or Republican problems. They are problems that affect every one of us.
Yeah, that's why she left the Democrat Party, because she, and I wonder, well, she left the Democrat Party because she realized all those things, and I wonder why it hasn't been so obvious for so many other Democrats. I guess they're in it for power, or they believe the lies, but I think Tulsi Gabbard is right. For Biden to say, oh, Trump's only in it for himself. Trump's the guy that's made all the sacrifice. Trump isn't the one that got rich by being in politics. That would be Joe Biden. That would be Joe Biden. By the way, Jill Biden flying around on, does she get to ride Air Force One, or do they have it on Air Force Two? I don't know. She's flying around on your dime campaigning for Joe Biden right now because Joe Biden can't hack it. You know, he's pooped out from a phone call he made into Morning Joe this morning. Meanwhile, what is Joe Biden doing policy-wise? Well, a local news team couldn't believe that people being replaced from Ukraine into America, being placed in America from Ukraine, are getting all these benefits. But they looked into it, and they found out it's true. So after hearing this, remember what we covered earlier. Do you really think that the Democrats aren't registering non-citizens to vote? Do you really believe that? Well, ask yourself that question again after hearing this report in clip 8.
1 year after the start of Russia's invasion, thousands of Ukrainians are temporarily living in the U.S.
There are some viral videos claiming Ukrainians are receiving benefits like Social Security while they're living here.
So Jerry Carnes with our Verify team is digging into the claim.
President Joe Biden is committed to welcoming 100,000 Ukrainians who fled the war there to find their way here to the United States. There are viral videos like this one questioning that commitment.
President Biden has made it legal for Ukrainian immigrants
to get SSI checks.
Our viewers asked us to verify if Ukrainians here in the United States are receiving benefits like Social Security. Let's check. Our sources are the Social Security Administration, the Office of Refugee Resettlement, the Uniting for Ukraine program, and immigration lawyer Charles Cook. According to Cook, there are three ways Ukrainians can legally seek refuge here. One is through the Uniting for Ukraine program. Those who qualify can stay in the U.S. for up to 2 years as humanitarian parolees and receive some benefits.
They're eligible for food stamps. They're eligible for Supplemental Social Security, SSI. They're eligible for insurance, Medicare.
The Social Security Administration says that certain Ukrainians in the U.S. may be eligible for SSI benefits. The Office of Refugee Resettlement confirms humanitarian parolees may also be eligible for assistance through existing programs, like the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, health care through Medicaid, and food through SNAP.
No, they're not lifetime on the taxpayer dole. This is basically helping refugees who couldn't help themselves.
So we can verify it's true. Some Ukrainians who have arrived in the United States since Russia's invasion of their country may apply and could qualify for benefits like Supplemental Social Security for a limited amount of time.
As if that's the only benefit they're getting. No, they're getting free housing. They're getting all kinds of benefits, folks. It's crazy. And it's not just Ukrainians. What about the 10 million illegal aliens that have crossed the border and are getting all kinds of government assistance to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars? Meanwhile, the American veteran that's homeless or suffering gets left behind. Meanwhile, the American child that has to go to school in a Democrat danger zone and get indoctrinated by Democrat teachers is struggling and falling behind. Our infrastructure collapsing. It's really frustrating. It's really frustrating. And what's the excuse? Oh, we just have free money for everybody. We just have free money for everybody. The RNC platform committee just released the Republican Party platform for 2024. Here are the 20 platform points. Seal the border and stop the migrant invasion. Carry out the largest deportation operation in American history. It's number two. End inflation and make America affordable again. Make America the dominant energy producer in the world by far. Stop outsourcing and turn the United States into a manufacturing superpower. Large tax cuts for workers and no tax on tips. Defend our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and our fundamental freedoms, including freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and the right to keep and bear arms. Prevent World War III. Restore peace in Europe and in the Middle East and build a great Iron Dome missile defense shield over our entire country, all made in America. End the weaponization of government against the American people. Stop the migrant crime epidemic. Demolish the foreign drug cartels. Crush gang violence and lock up violent offenders. Rebuild our cities, including Washington, D.C., making them safe, clean, and beautiful again. Strengthen and modernize our military, making it without question the strongest and most powerful in the world. Keep the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. Fight for and protect Social Security and Medicare with no cuts, including no changes to the retirement age. Cancel the electric vehicle mandate and cut costly, burdensome regulations. Cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, radical gender ideology, and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content on our children. Keep men out of women's sports. Deport pro-Hamas radicals and make our college campuses safe and patriotic again. Secure our elections, including same-day voting, voter identification, paper ballots, and proof of citizenship. Unite our country by bringing it to new and record levels of success. Sounds like Trump wrote that one himself. So I'm not going to kind of get into the nuances of the language or the policies there. Point being, you compare that to the results of the Biden administration, and it's not even close. The border is wide open. Illegal aliens costing the American taxpayers hundreds of billions of dollars. Inflation up, record highs. War are all over the world. U.S. energy being cut. Weaponization of government against the American people. Cities falling apart. D.C. is a hellhole. D.C. was booming when Trump was president. Now you don't even want to go there. mandating what kind of car you can drive. Men competing in women's sports. The complete loss of faith in U.S. elections. Critical race theory, radical gender ideology all over the classrooms. It seems to be that's the only place where education is expanding. So, I mean, you compare and contrast the two policies, and it's really a no-brainer. Now, whether they deliver on these promises, I suppose, is a different question. But comparing and contrasting what you've got in policy and results from Joe Biden, comparing to what Trump is offering, I mean, it's just, it's not even close. Well, the Trump boat parades are back. The Trump boat parades are back. By the way, more people attend a Trump boat parade than any Biden rally. So here we go again. All right. Eric Swalwell is blaming the weather on Republicans. That's right. Eric Swalwell blaming the weather on Republicans. Eric Swalwell says, my family in Texas are about to be slammed by Hurricane Beryl. And Greg Abbott is out of town. Well, if you're about to get hit by a hurricane, don't you normally flee? Who the hell are these leaders? And why aren't they held to account? Held to account for the weather? So Eric Swalwell wants to blame Republicans and hold them to account for the weather. For the weather. What if that same standard and logic was applied towards gun violence? More people will die from gun violence in Democrat cities in one day than from all weather-related events probably in the United States this year. Let's just, now I'm being told the numbers are astronomical, just so you know. So I'm kind of getting a little insider information here for our normal game of over and under. So with that insider tip, I'm going to go with it's gun deaths in Chicago this weekend. So if we can blame the weather when weather happens in a Republican city, if we can blame the Republicans for that, then we can certainly blame the Democrats for gun violence in their cities. So do you think more people will die in Texas from a hurricane or from Chicago from gun crime? So I'm going to go with 78 shot and 18 dead. July 4th weekend. All right, guys, put it on the big board. And these are all Democrats' faults by Eric Swalwell's own logic. 109 shot, 19 deceased. So we were still pretty close there. Chicago's deadly 4th of July weekend leaves 109 shot, 19 dead. So, okay, how many will die from the hurricane in Texas? Likely none, but you might have one, maybe two. And so if that is Republicans' fault for the weather, then certainly all the gun violence in Democrat cities like Chicago are Democrats' fault. So thanks to Eric Swalwell's logic, of course, this weekend of gun violence in Chicago is all the Democrats' faults. And I guess that logic could extend to anything. All the illegal alien murders and rapes, Democrats. So thank you, Eric Swalwell, for laying that logic out. So Republicans will be responsible from about two or three dead from this hurricane. It's very tragic. So if that's Republicans' fault, then all the gun violence in Democrat cities and all of the illegal alien crimes committed, that is at the feet of the Democrats. And of course, that's hundreds, if not thousands, of deaths and rapes. So, that logic really worked against you there, didn't it? Swallows well. President Trump wants to investigate Big Pharma for potentially causing autism. Here he is making a statement on health policy in clip two.
In recent decades, there has been an unexplained and alarming growth in the prevalence of chronic illnesses and health problems, especially in children. We've seen a stunning rise in autism, autoimmune disorders, obesity, infertility, serious allergies, and respiratory challenges. It's time to ask, what is going on? Is it the food that they eat, the environment that we live in, the overprescription of certain medications? Is it the toxins and chemicals that are present in our homes? Every year we spend hundreds of billions of dollars to treat these chronic problems rather than looking at what is causing them in the first place. Too often our public health establishment is too close to big pharma. They make a lot of money, big pharma. Big corporations and other special interests, and does not want to ask the tough questions about what is happening to our children's health. If big pharma defrauds American patients and taxpayers or puts profits above people, they must be investigated and held accountable. When I'm back in the White House, I will establish a special presidential commission of independent minds who are not bought and paid for by big pharma, and I will charge them with investigating what is causing the decades-long increase in chronic illnesses. I understand big pharma, I believe, better than anybody else. I know where they're coming from. And then I will ask them to publish recommendations for how every American child can have a safe and healthy childhood. This is a conversation that is long overdue, and it's a conversation that American families deserve. American families must have this conversation, and they must have a leader, a president, who can do something about this problem. And I will do that. Thank you.
Wow. More of that, please. Donald J. Trump. Where did that come from? Feels like some influence led to that. Very well said. All right. Now, meanwhile, you heard earlier John Kirby. So what are they doing? They're now leaning into Joe Biden's big boy press conference. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre saying it's his big boy press conference, clip 28.
And you'll certainly hear from the president on Thursday when he gives his press conference, his big boy press conference, as your colleague Justin has stated.
His big boy press conference. He's going to put on his big boy pants over his diaper, his adult diaper. He's going to have his big boy diaper, and then he's going to have his big boy press conference. I mean, we can joke about it, and it is certainly funny, but also this is going to be a big test for Joe. This will be a big test. And now that the American media and some of the Democrats want Joe Biden out, I don't think this is going to be such an easy ride. I think the true test for Joe Biden begins now. It started with the debate. It moved on to the Stephanopoulos interview. And now it's going to be, I think the media and some people in the White House are going to try to set Joe Biden up for failure from here on out, whether that's because they want Kamala or just for him to get out of the way. Big boy press conference on Thursday. Well, certainly we'll have coverage right here at Infowars.com and band.video. Meanwhile, Mayor Eric Adams has a big breakthrough for New York City. How did nobody think of this before, ladies and gentlemen? A container, if you can try to stick with me here, a container to put your bags of trash in so that the trash truck can come and pick it up and put it into the back of the trash truck. This is brilliant stuff. Why didn't anybody think of this before? Here's Eric Adams rolling it out, guys. Show me the video here. Oh, my. Oh, and then you put the trash in the bin? Whoa. New York City now has its own official trash bin. Here's when small residential buildings will have to start using them. Folks, all right, let's stop with the sarcasm for a second. Now, have you been to New York City recently? It smells like a dump. It's really sad what's happened to the once great New York City, but it smells like a dump, and there's rats everywhere and mountains of trash. And so I'm just trying to figure this out. Do you guys in New York City, did you really never have trash cans before? Am I missing something here? I've only lived in two states, Missouri and Texas, and we had trash cans at my house growing up in St. Louis. We had trash cans everywhere else I lived in Missouri. You put your trash bag in the can and you take it out to the street. Same thing here in Texas. So they've just been, so the crew, they what? You guys have never had trash cans before in New York City? What the hell? What is going on? Well, Eric Adams has done it, ladies and gentlemen. He has introduced the trash can to New York City. And the one last thing he can do is hop in it himself. All right. I'm just, it's so ludicrous that it's comical. Like, you've just discovered the Promethean fire here. A trash can. A trash can. This is his new big thing. It's a trash can, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We are out of time for today. Some stories we skipped. NATO is coming to town in Washington, D.C. They're about to cause major traffic jams. They're shutting everything down. The DHS is simulating war games for their excuse to turn over the tables before the elections. Elon Musk is calling for an investigation of Epstein Island. And I'll be live in 2 hours at rumble.com/Owen, or we'll see you here tomorrow.